Hare Krishna. Whoa, it's loud. While you sit down quietly, then I'm going to read a little Hanuman story to start off. Perfect. I wish adults could learn how to quiet down like you guys know. You're so good at it. This little Hanuman story is called The Power of Ravana and Hanuman. During the Battle of Lanka, once a fierce duel ensued between Hanuman and proud Ravana, reminding Ravana how previously he had killed his son, Akshaya Kumara. Hanuman gave a mighty blow to Ravana, who instantly collapsed on the ground. After recovering, Ravana was indeed surprised and praised Hanuman's power. In the same battle, one time Ravana made Lakshmana unconscious and tried to kidnap him, but he was not able to move Lakshmana even a little. It was easy for Ravana to move mountains, but not Lakshmana. Lakshmana is the divine serpent Anantashesh, so how can one carry him? When Hanuman came to that spot, he gave one blow to Ravana, making him unconscious, and he lifted up Lakshman very easily. How could he do it? Lakshman was very happy seeing the devotion of Hanuman and allowed himself to be lifted by Hanuman. Hari Bol. So I just want to ask the devotees if you can make a little prayer this morning for Jesus Ramos. This is the father of Gaura Krishna Das, who's just moved here just a week ago to be our full-time maintenance person on our maintenance team, and his dad passed away. So he was very sad, and I know that if the devotees pray for Jesus, then he will have a good destination as he moves towards getting back to Godhead in his journey. So we ask everyone will make a prayer for Jesus Ramos today. Okay, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. And finally, I just want to say special thanks to Damodar Kovi in our IT department. As many of you know, we've had a lot of problems with our online streaming from the temple room. And that hasn't just been last week. It was, you know, we have a lot of cutting out happening. And It's a difficult situation bringing internet into this building. It's not like if you're in town and you get internet, it comes right into your house. But we have to get it wirelessly to come in here. So we've had some problem with it, and I know that it's very important for a lot of people who listen to our classes every day from home or from work. So we want to just thank Damodar because he ran new outdoor network cable from the temple room to our antenna, and then he put in a new, let me just see what it's called because I know nothing about nothing, a wireless bridge, and he programmed it and he ran it. And so far, since that happened yesterday afternoon, we've had very consistent streaming. So I appreciate the devotees at home who are very attached to listening to class. Did not inundate us with calls this time because you know that we know whenever it's down, we already know it's down and we're working on it. So thank you to everyone for being patient. Hare Krishna. And that's Damodar sitting in the corner right there, just have to say. Okay, these are the devotees who assisted their spiritual master addressing the deities today. Shishi Radhasham Sundar, Nittai Priya Devi Dasi, Chota Radhasham Sundar, Kirtan Devi Dasi, Sri Sri Krishna Balaram, Nanda Devi Dasi, Chota Krishna Balaram, Lakshmi Priya Devi Dasi, Sri Sri Gornatai, Devaki Devi Dasi, Chota Gornatai, Madhuri Leela Nanda Devi Dasi, Gurus and Lord Nisringadev, Krishna Kripa Moya Das, His Holiness Ramapad Swami is going to give class again today. Hare Krishna.
Kunjabi Hari Ganamadhava Kunjabi Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Janabada Bha Girivara Dhadi Gopi Janabada Bha giddy birded heart. Oh, peach on a ba-la-pa, giddy birded daddy. Gopi jana bala ba, giri bada dadi. Ja soda nandana, braja jana randana. Ja soda nandana, braja jana randana. Jamuna tirafana chadi. Jamuna tirafana chadi. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Padhi. Madhava Kunjabi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Adi. Gopi Janavada Pagiri Pada Dadi. Gopi jana balabha giri pada dadi. Jasoda nandana braja jana ranjana. Jasoda nandana braja jana ranjana. Jamuna tiravana chadi. Jamuna tiravana chadi. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Padhi. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Adi. Jaya Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivedakacharya Astatara Satasi Srimad. His Divine Grace is the Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Gaura Premanandi. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading this morning from Canto 3, Chapter 21, is the conversation between Manu and Kardama. That's the title of the chapter. And we're reading text 2, 1 to 3, 21, 22. Rishi Ruvacha Ityavyalikam. Ityavalikam prasutabjanabhas tam abhasa seva cha samratena saparna paksho parirochamana prema smito dvikshana vibramad bhuru Ityavalikam pranut Tabjanabhas. Tam abhasashe vachasamratena. Suparna poksho parirochamana. Premas ratot vikshana vibramad bro. Yavanikam pranutob janabhas. Tam abhasashe vachasamratena. Suparna praksho parirochamanaha. Prema smito dvikshana vibramad bro. Nikam pranusob jabrabhas. Tam abhabhase swachip samratena. Suparna praksha padiro chamanaha. Prema simho dvikshana vibramad bro. Any of our children would like to chant? Avanikam pranutob janabhas. Tam abhasashe vachasamratena. Suparna praksha padiro chamanaha. Prema smrito dvikshana vibramad bro. Javilikam pratusob jadrabhas. Tam abhabhashe vachasamratena. Suparna praksha padiro chamana. Prema smrito dvikshana vibramad pro. Rishi uvacha. The great sage Maitreya said, iti thus avyalikam sincerely pranutaha, having been praised, abja nabha, Lord Vishnu, tam to kardamoni, abhapase, replied, vachasa, with words, amritena, as sweet as nectar, suparna, of Garuda, paksha, the shoulders, upadi, upon, rochamanaha, shining, prema, of affection, smrita, with a smile, udvikshana, looking, vibramat, gracefully moving, bruhu, eyebrows. Translation, Maitreya resumed, sincerely extolled in these words, Lord Vishnu, shining very beautifully on the shoulders of Garuda, replied with words as sweet as nectar. His eyebrows moved gracefully as he looked at the sage with a smile full of affection. Very nice picture. Purport. The word vachasamratena is significant. Whenever the Lord speaks, he speaks from the transcendental world. He does not speak from the material world. Since he is transcendental, his speech is also transcendental, as is his activity. Everything in relation to him is transcendental. The word Amrita refers to one who does not meet with death. The words and activities of the Lord are deathless, therefore they are not manufactured of this material world. The sound of this material world and that of the spiritual world are completely different. The sound of the spiritual world is nectarian and eternal, whereas the sound of the material world is hackneyed and subject to an end. The sound of the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 everlastingly increases the enthusiasm of the chanter if one repeats monotonous material words, he will feel exhausted. But if he chants Hare Krishna 24 hours a day, he'll never feel exhausted. Rather, he will feel encouraged to continue chanting more and more. When the Lord replied to the sage Kardama, the word Vachasamritena is specifically mentioned since he spoke from the transcendental world. He, Vishnu, replied in transcendental words, and when he spoke, his eyebrows moved with great affection. When a devotee praises the glories of the Lord is very satisfied, and he bestows his transcendental benediction upon the devotee without reservation, because he is always causelessly merciful towards his devotees. So a little bit of the background of all this. If you haven't seen the painting of this scene, it's worth finding. Maybe in your classroom you can find the nice painting. The timing is very, very early in creation. That is, shortly after Lord Brahma built the universe, it's empty. I mean, there's living entities like plants and trees and, you know, wildlife, but the human beings weren't prevalent. So very, 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 very early in the creation, there's Kardama Muni, one of the descendants of the Prajapatis, whose business it is to fill up the earth, the structure of the universe with living entities. He is has been made a request. Please help fill up the living entity, fill up the universe with living entities, like an assistant to the Prajapatis, because that's their function. And he wasn't so inclined, but he had a service, and so he went into the forest, because that's all there was forest. And there he was by the side of a sacred river. Picture in your mind, and later you can look at it in your classrooms. He is seated, meditating, and then and calling the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who reciprocated with the call in a very unique way. The unique way was he Vishnu came on the back of Garuda, but he wasn't sitting on the back of Garuda, he was standing. Picture, standing on the back of the shoulders of Garuda, gently his arms flapping, Garuda. And Kardama Muni sees him, and Kardama Muni is offering prayers to him. And the punchline of the prayers is he is seeking a companion, a female companion, so he can have one son that can be give light or transcendental light to the rest of the creation. You know, the very powerful son, that's what he wants. So we discussed it yesterday, that the personality of Godhead, although Kardama Muni didn't spell it out in detail what he wants, the Lord knew what he wants, And so now he's going to respond, coming up. And then the scene is, he's smiling because he knows. And he, not only he's smiling because he knows, he's smiling because the words of Kardama Muni were just fantastic. The understanding of the origin of everything has been articulated very nicely, very pleasingly. And he was very pleased by those nice words spoken by Kardama. And so he's going to reply. Now, just step back, two things. Step back a little bit, and I hope you don't mind, but a little bit of the structure of Srimad Bhagavatam. In Srimad Bhagavatam, one of the things that we hear is creation. And in creation, there's the appearance of Lord Brahma and his austerities, and then he becomes enlightened. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adi Kavaye, he becomes enlightened from within his heart by the personality of Godhead. He, the personality of Godhead, shows him the structure of the universe before it's built. It's like a blueprint, or something that the creator, before someone builds a building or a house or something, they have a picture of what the thing's going to look like. It's done in a certain style, but they have a picture of what it's going to look like before he builds it. And then Brahma builds it. He builds the universe. And then have to fill it up with living entities. And then there has to manage the affairs of the universe once it's running. So that management structure is set up in such a way that in the course of one day of Brahma, there's 14 manus. And in third canto, we hear about Swayambhuva Manu, the first of the 14. And then the structure of the Bhagavatam is, we hear little by little by little, Swayambhuva Manu and the daughters of Swayambhuva Manu, and we hear something about Swayambhuva Manu. And we don't start hearing about the other 13 manus until much later, the 8th canto, 9th canto. And then there's details about each of those personalities, the manus, and how, because this is part of the big picture of what the Bhagavatam is doing, the structure of the universe and the maintenance and management of the universe. It doesn't go on automatically. Supposing somebody doesn't know, doesn't mean it goes on automatically because they don't know. There's somebody. There's somebody has a structure underneath them. They have personalities, demigods that are appointed by Manu. You're in charge of this, and you're in charge of that, and qualified persons. And then the Manu changes. It's like when the president changes, he has a cabinet, and he appoints his cabinet members. And then a new president and does the same thing. There's a system. So there's a universal system. The modern system is modeled after the universal system. Just a detail. So back to Swayambhuva Manu. And the appearance of Lord Vishnu before him. Not before Manu, but before Kardama Muni. Because Kardama Muni is going to become married to one of the daughters of Swayambhuva Manu. And so Swayambhuva Manu is part of the picture, but the qualification of Kardama Muni, because Kardama Muni is going to become the father of an incarnation of the personality of Godhead. Pretty cool, huh? He's way up there, Kardama Muni. And the daughter of Swayambhuva Manu is also way up there. They're going to become mother and father of Kapila Dev. Because this is coming later in Canto 3, the son. And then Kapila Dev gives wonderful, wonderful, wonderful teachings to his mother. And there's many details as we go forward in the third canto. But here, the focus back to the picture of Lord Vishnu, four-armed Lord Vishnu, standing on the shoulders of Garuda, smiling, meaning he's appreciating the elegance of the words of Kardama and the appropriateness of his words and the correctness, the veracity of his words. He's smiling. He's very much appreciating this nice Kardama Muni and his words, because the previous verse finished his words, and now Vishnu is going to reply. And he's decorated with ornament. He's Vishnu. He's the feature of the personality Godhead from the spiritual realm has these two main features. One is his opulent feature, or his Aishwarya feature, or decorated to the max with weapons in his hand and benedictory items in his hand, the conch shell and the lotus and the club and his Sudarshan chakra. He's ready for anything. Four hands. For protect the devotees and to smash the miscreants. He's ready. And on the devotee side, there's Kardama Muni. So he's smiling. And he is two things. Specifically, in the concluding part of the verse, he's moving his eyebrows as he's speaking, which means something. It's very personal. So there's a smile and the movement is eyebrows as he's speaking. So, you know, eyes can also be expressive. The words can be expressive, but the eyes can also be expressive of pleasure or displeasure or whatever the mood is from the speaker. And one can discern the mood of the speaker in part from the eyes along with the words. So he's smiling. That's another feature. His eyes are moving. And finally, the sound of his voice is transcendental. And what does transcendental mean, by the way? Transcendental means beyond any even touch of material, transcendental, fully beyond the modes of nature, but fully beyond something that's temporary, because everything in this world is temporary. Do you know anything in this world that's not temporary? There's no such thing, is it? Everything is temporary. Huh? Yeah, but the soul is in the world, but not of the world. So transcendental, the soul is also transcendental, but the soul is influenced by, most souls I know are influenced by the modes of material nature, but the personality of Godhead, Vishnu, is not. Although he's appeared in the world, he appeared in this forest, but he's not of the world. He's not influenced by. So therefore his words are fully transcendental, his form is fully transcendental, and anything in relation to him, his ornaments and his paraphernalia, just like here we have a nice altar. This is a little education on deity worship. The deity is non-different than the person, just like the name of Krishna is non-different than Krishna. So the form of Krishna, the deity form of Krishna, is non-different than Krishna. The deity is Krishna himself. And the deity has ornaments. The deity has paraphernalia. There's a conch shell, and there's this, and there's that. And all of those items that are used directly, connected directly with the worship of the deity, they're also spiritual, or there's a nice Sanskrit word called tadiya. Tadiya, it means in relation to tad, the supreme person. So it's also spiritual, worshipable. One can, let's say, the altar surrounding the deities, It's full. It's just wood, and, you know, with carvings and paint and so forth. But because it's the place where the personality Godhead is situated, it's spiritual. It's sacred. It's as worshipable as the deity is worshipable. There's, you know, different examples of how sometimes Srila Prabhupada would make a gift. He would receive a gift. There they go. Okay. Sometimes Prabhupada would receive a gift. It was a thing that happened. He regularly was given watches, and he'd take one watch off and give the watch to the person who gave him the new watch, and he'd put on the new watch. Then another person would give him a watch, and he'd take the old watch off and give him to the one who was giving him a watch. So he had, you know, watch rotation. But, you know, it's tadiya. It's sacred. There's a very nice pastime where Prabhupada wanted to reciprocate very much with a devotee couple. I won't say the name of the devotee couple. So he showed them his hand. On his hand he had a ring, and he, with his left hand he removed the ring on his right hand and gave to the couple the ring from his hand that he had worn for years. And guess what they felt? Like, that was mercy. He didn't have to do that, but he wanted to do that. And they understood that the gesture was a gesture of love. So it doesn't have to be so dramatic, but, you know, anything that we have that's of transcendental value, you know, like teachings, like the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam, or just take this particular story, Kardamama and his prayers to Lord Vishnu, and Lord Vishnu is going to speak. It's transcendental. It's not material. Just like, and I'm going to end, because I'm supposed to end, so you have some time for questions. The Hare Krishna mantra is mentioned in the purport. We all chanted it together as we read the purport. And each of the verses of Srimad Bhagavatam are equally transcendental. We recite the Maha Mantra again and again because it's special. But the other verses of the Bhagavatam, they're as transcendental as the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra because it's directly glorifications of the personality of Godhead. Take the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, or take it even bigger, the entire body of literature of the Vedas, that's a big body of literature. What's the purpose of it? What's the purpose of the Vedas? Who knows the verse? And amongst the younger generation devotees here, what's the purpose of the Vedas? The purpose of the Vedas is Vedais to you. Yeah, to know Krishna. Yeah. To know Krishna. It's right in Bhagavad Gita. Here's the verse in Bhagavad Gita. Vedaischa sairvam, vedaischa sairvair, eva vejo, vedanta kred veda vid eva chaham. The purpose of the Vedas is to know Krishna. Aham. Krishna speaking. It's about the purpose of the Vedas is to know him, or first person. The purpose of the Vedas is to know Krishna. So, the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam, every verse. It may not be so obvious, but you take the big picture, and the purpose of that verse in the big picture is to know Krishna. And here we are, we're off in the forest at the beginning, the earliest stages of creation, and there's this sage, Kardama, and he's offering prayers to Vishnu, and Vishnu comes and says, Hari Bol. Such nice prayers. And then, I understand the purpose of your nice prayers. And then the answer is yes. It will be arranged because you're such a nice devotee and you have such devotion. The desire in devotion by the devotee. We discussed this yesterday in the morning class. Is reciprocated with exactly according to the interest of the heart, that which is in the heart of the devotee. So, dear devotees, be careful what's in your heart, because guess what? It may happen, even if it's not wholesome. But if it's wholesome, that, and then what to speak of transcendental? And if it's fully transcendental, guess what? It'll be reciprocated with. So in this case, it's kardama. He wants a wife. But it's not exactly he wants a wife. He wants to perform a service that was requested by his superiors, and that is to help fill up the universe with living entities. So he requires a wife. But he's not attached to having a wife. He's attached to doing some even better service than filling up the universe with living entities. He wants a son that's going to become an incarnation of the personality of Godhead. He wants a quality wife to be able to perform that service. So, the point is, yayitamam prapadyante tangsataiva vajamyaham, according to Bhagavad Gita, according to proportionate to or in alignment with the desire of the living entity, Krishna reciprocates. So you better be careful what your desires are. Make your desires as far as possible aligned with simply that which is going to be pleasing to the source of everything, to Krishna. So he, karma, understands Vishnu to be that source, and he's making this request in prayer, along with glorification, fantastic set of prayers. So there's a little summary. Now, my understanding is the students that come to this class, they really like asking questions. So we're allowing time for your nice questions. And I'll stop speaking and look around the room and see if somebody wants to raise a question. And I can be very patient too. Go ahead.
Was Kardama Muni on the Earth planet when he made these prayers?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because Kapila Dev is in Sitaloka, right?
But that's not where it started. Mm-hmm. It started here, you know, the Earth plane, Bhumandala. Mm. That's where they were. That's where Kardama was. That's, you know, his marriage was there.
Thank you. I just wanted to get it started. The questions.
Okay. Here is a question. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Did he like his job or like?
Did he what? Like did his mom?
Like his job.
Like his job, yeah. Okay. It was, you know, he was like, he was inspired. And he was inspired more like this and less like that. He was less like having lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots, you know, so many living entities to fill up the universe. He wasn't inspired by that. He was inspired by a little different. The inspiration was, he wanted one son who would be so exalted he could deliver everybody else. That's what his desire was. And that's what happened. So he was content with that, and it was reciprocated with by the Supreme. Damodar, you get so many services. You're fortunate.
Haribol Maharaj. I just wanted to ask, maybe I know it's coming up later, about the Prajapatis and the different forms of life that came thereafter. I think that's also quite interesting for the students to hear about the different forms, right? That the Prajapatis then married the wives of Manu, from my understanding. Is that correct?
So your question.
Could you tell us about? It was more of like a.
You want to hear more about the Prajapatis?
Yeah, and the different forms of life that they had created thereafter.
Well, you know, there's the source of everything. And, you know, in material creation, Mahavishnu and expansion, he's the source of the universes, and then there's universes, etc. Wait a minute. There's a hand up over here. Okay, so back to your question. No, wait. See, I want to finish your question. So he wants to hear about the Prajapatis, so I'm just going to do some response to that question. So structure, there's the source, then there's the there's the universe, and then there's Lord Brahma that builds the universe, and then Brahma creates a structure for overseeing the maintenance of the universe. So he, Brahma, has offspring, and one of those offspring is Swayambhuva Manu. And then Manu, he's an administrator. He's got an administration that comes into power when he's in power. And so part of that administration, he has to have the living entities to administrate over, because that's part of his function on behalf of the source of everything. So Prajapatis have that specific function. What's their specific function? Fill up the universe with living entities. That's what that, in simple language, that's what Prajapatis do. And it's to provide a part of the structure, of an important part of the structure. The living entities doesn't just mean humans, it's all living entities. You know, what happens later is pretty interesting. You know, this Prajapati and that Prajapati produce species other than humans. Whoa. No, you know, so then there's an explanation behind how that happens, but that's their function. Fill up the universe with all the varieties. You know, 8,400,000 varieties of living entities. They're busy guys, the Prajapatis. And then there's the administration of all those living entities and standards and guidelines of how the human form of life is to interact with the other forms of life. The Manus give those laws that govern mankind so that there, you know, can be a proper structure and tranquility. So that's Manu does, but these Prajapatis are working under Manu. And there's a whole other part of that structure that they're in. So they're important people, Prajapatis.
What happens when you die?
What happens when you die? Well, there's two things that happen. The body disintegrates and the soul goes on. Those two things. So where does the soul go on? You know the answer. You know the answer. The soul goes to the next destination. And who determines the next destination? These demigods, that's their responsibility. They have to know, you know, an individual soul's guna and karma, those two things. You know the meaning, right? Modes of nature. Someone's in goodness, someone's in passion, someone's in ignorance, and someone's all mixed up. So according to those modes of nature, and they have a certain quality, and then there's a certain behavior that they've done, karma. So according to guna and karma, they got the demigods decide what their next destination is, and zoom, off the soul goes into the next destination. There's a procedure for how that happens, but that's what happens. Next destination. The body disintegrates because it's temporary. Now we value it, we work with it, but after some time it's just going to be back to the elements. The air merged with the totality of air, the water with the water, the earth with the earth, and elements go back to their reservoir of those elements. That's what happens to the body. What happens to the soul is the next destination, according to guna and karma. So here's a nice question. You ready for this nice question? What happens to those souls that have dissolved their guna and karma? Where do they go? They go to the spiritual realm where there isn't guna and karma. That, you know, it's a credential, it's an entitlement. If some soul becomes, so how to do that? How to become free from involvement in matter? That's a good question. That's, you know, $50,000 question. Who knows the answer to that question? Krishna knows the answer, and he provides the method. And he encourages us. And then we can say yes, no, or maybe. So, but it's possible to become free from birth again in the material world. And that's a choice. With good guidance, it's a choice. Okay. Here goes another portion of our assembly. Boy, the scenery really changed, huh?
Thank you, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna. Well, for those of you that are still here, any discussion? Yeah. Okay.
I was wondering about how the, because I don't assume that the progenitors is the same thing like here on Earth, like they have a family and then they grow themselves like that, and there's more people here because they have a family and like that. So how does it work? I mean, what's going on? I mean, he needs a wife, but is he just have like one big family and they just like go travel and then they like, what's that? Because it doesn't sound like it would be like an ordinary, like how we think of it as like making progeny.
How old are you?
I'm 21.
Wait till you're 77. Something happens. Three things happen when you get 77. One of them is hearing diminishes. So you spoke, I could hear the sound, but the breaking apart of the words wasn't so clear to me. And it's not you, it's this thing. Memory is another one. Memory kind of escapes, it goes somewhere, gets up and goes for a hike or something. And there's another, you know, illnesses. So I couldn't catch all of what you said. Slowly, like super slowly.
Okay.
Even better, come on up and without the microphone.
Yeah.
Without the microphone, I can probably hear you better.
So I'm wondering, because we imagine progeny like, we imagine progeny however we imagine it now, like, okay, like, you find a wife and
families.
Then... Yeah, families.
Okay.
But then the progenitor of the universe and how he's spreading living entities and
okay.
throughout the universe
okay.
is probably not the same thing. So
yeah.
what is that leading
how does
look?
It work? Slowly. There's a male-female attraction is part of how the world goes around. It's built into having a body. You know, it doesn't matter what species, there's male-female attraction because it makes the world go round. Because, you know, offspring, and then more and more and more, you know, over time. There's predators that destroy, but it's just, that goes on. But, you know, your question is, the system way back then is the same system today, the same system in the future. That is, production of offspring, male-female attraction. Are there exceptions? Yes, very rare, where Lord Brahma, for example, can produce living entities without a female. That's pretty rare, but that's the exception. And the rule is male-female. So in this case, it's karta. The universe isn't filled up yet. It's very, very few living entities. But he's following the system. He needs a wife and someone to assist him in the service that the Prajapatis have asked him to do. So your question is, how does it go? Same. That's how it goes. Male, female, get together, woo, woo, woo. And then there's offspring. And then, you know, descendants of those offspring and so forth. That's how it goes. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I guess I was thinking it was like more like sci-fi or something, like there is, because it's just hard to
just the same.
Conceive.
Just the same. Okay. There's a question way in the back in the corner.
Hare Krishna, thank you, Maharaj.
Hare Bol.
One question. I see subject matter is about the population of the universe because it's necessary.
Yeah.
I also hear today like some races, they're going to be extinct, like Japan, because they're not reproducing. Like
the planet is what?
Some races in the planet right now, they're going to be extinct very soon because they're not reproducing themselves. So there is like a replacement quote that every country has to have, and they're below that. So they're supposed to be finished in a couple of years.
Oh, finished.
So my question is this. The devotees, they are supposed to also like, I mean, grihastha devotees, they're supposed to reproduce so to keep the population of devotees going, because otherwise, if they don't have any kids, then we're going to be finished also.
Okay, I don't have any kids.
No, but I mean, you're a sannyasi.
I don't have to worry about it because there's going to be kids. So
it's for grihastha, this question.
But you know, your question is on target with what's going on here. What's going on here is Kartamurti doesn't want a bunch of kids. He wants one. And before he gets married, the wife agrees, when there's a son that's of age to maintain you, I'm heading for the forest. And she's okay. I mean, she feels separation, but he just wants, you know, so it's the purpose is different. It's not fill up the universe or, you know, let's have lots of Hare Krishna devotees. Let's get lots of people married and have lots of kids so we have lots of Hare Krishna devotees. Because it doesn't always happen that the children of parents become Hare Krishna devotees. You know, it doesn't always happen like that. Maybe the intent of the parents, but and they make good efforts and so forth and so on. But so the most important is purity, and then when there's someone that can do that, automatically from the population of non-devotees come devotees. So you don't have to worry about becoming Prajapatis. You have to worry about purity. I think I'm going to end. We have something over in the... Okay. I feel separation from all the kids in the school.
Thank you. Thank you, Maharaj. You mentioned that Kardama Muni waited till Kapila was grown to take care of the mother? I thought it was when he was born, he left. That's the impression I got previously.
I'd have to go back and look. You're probably right, because you're probably right. Anybody? Adhikarta? You want to weigh in on this question? I don't know. Yeah.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I believe you made a comment yesterday, if I'm not mistaken. She had her father. She was the daughter of Manu, so she had her family still, because we tend to think in this nuclear concept. So even if he had left when...
No, but the question is, did Kardama Muni leave his wife when the boy was grown up, or right after he was born? That's the question, right?
I guess I'm wondering, I'm presuming that the question is coming from, well, hey, if he, you know, it seems kind of like...
No,
left
no,
him
no.
With a
it's just
baby.
It's a factual question. It's not a not a cultural question.
Gotcha.
It's a factual.
Okay.
Was he a little baby and he just hit the road?
Right.
Or did he wait till he became a young man and then he hit the road? Or, you know, there's a third option. He was born mature. That happens sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. And that's it. I think it's a good place. Yeah.